I'm delighted to be joined in studio. Hard to believe it was August when I was last talking to this lovely lady. But she's here to talk to us about pensions and, you know, everything financial. We had the budget yesterday. We're not going to talk too much about the budget, but we're going to talk about what sort of budget that you might have, the listener, and you might be interested in investing your money in your future. And we've had a couple of questions in from listeners as well. We'll get to them in a moment. But for now, Karen Goodliff, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And I'm delighted that you're here because you're beaming with a beautiful smile on a lovely day. Sure, why wouldn't you feel good?
Exactly, absolutely. On a sunny day like this in Yule.
And tell me, how's it been for you since I last saw you? You're busy.
We're busy. This time of year, it tends to get a bit busier in the financial planning world because people are looking at their tax return that's either due at the end of October, or more people are going online nowadays, so it's due in the middle of November. And people tend to look at a pension contribution to offset some tax if they have a tax bill, or try and get some tax back potentially as well by paying a pension contribution. And that can be everyone from sole traders, company directors, and even employees who are members of pension schemes as well. So that's kind of making me a bit busier this time of year, which is a good thing.
Of course, because if you listen to mainstream radio or even watching on TV, there are the reminders from revenue that you're... Your filing is now due and your payment as well. And I know, being a sole trader myself, the 31st of August is, or 31st of October is the big date. But if you register with Ross, you have until the 12th of November.
That's right, yeah.
What I didn't realise actually, Karen, is that the contributory state pension that people would normally get when they turn the age of 66, that's coming in just slightly over €12,900. Now, when I mention that figure, that might sound great, but when you break it down on a weekly basis, it's not an awful lot. And if you've been working in some profession where you were used to a little bit more every week or every month, it's a bit of a hit to take.
Absolutely, be a huge hit to take. And you mentioned 66, that's for people retiring right now. They get it when they're 66. That's been pushed out to 67. And for a lot of people, like ourselves, it's going to be 68 potentially when we're going to get that state pension. So it's just over $12,900 per annum. And for most people, that would be a huge drop in their income. And that's even if they qualify for the full contributory state pension, you know, if they've always, you know, if they've got a full career, if you like. The rules are actually changing in the next couple of years. And the government are looking at potentially an average of 40 years contributions, PRSI contributions. So it would mean that effectively, you know, between, say, age 28 and 68, if you never took a break, or slightly earlier, if you're, you know, after college, 23, you would have an allowance for a bit of a career break, and then the 40 years up to age 68. The other thing, I suppose, that we're not guaranteed either is, will the pension age remain at 68? Will they push it to 70 at any stage? You know, we have an ageing population, and basically the government can't afford to keep, you know, paying for the pensions as they are. So hence, they have huge incentives for people and their private pension provision, and everyone's encouraged to somehow do that. Even affordability is low, with the tax relief, you know, it does jump up the premium slightly, and they can hopefully contribute something to a private pension and get some private pension when they retire.
I suppose what I'm very conscious of at the moment, Karen, as we face in towards the uncertainty of Brexit, there's a lot of talk about small and medium-sized enterprises and a lot more talk about self-employed people. And you know, you don't have to go too far to find people who are self-employed. Obviously, you think of the taxi driver or, you know, the local bus driver. But there are people, they might own coffee shops, whatever it may be. It might be a mechanic or a plumber. They're all self-employed. And, you know, their entitlements aren't as secure as if you were working in the public sector. One of the questions that came in earlier today, and it's just an example, a 43-year-old sole trader, self-employed, was in with his accountant recently to do his accounts, and he was informed by the accountant that the tax liability was in the region of €5,000 for the tax year, that's 2018, which has just gone. But the accountant was advising him to speak to a financial advisor regarding how he might be able to clear the liability completely with a pension contribution. Now, people are thinking, God, 43 is ancient. But are there benefits for somebody like that to take out a pension? And what are the benefits then when it comes to your tax liabilities?
OK, there are huge benefits. Obviously, first of all, he'd be contributing towards his retirement if he does pay a pension contribution. And because of the tax relief, he can almost eliminate that tax or certainly reduce that tax bill he has. But it does involve paying money into a pension. So he has to have that money, you know, in place to be able to pay a pension contribution in order to do this. So the listener hasn't said how much they've actually earned in 2018. He's obviously doing his 2018 tax return, but he has given his age. So I'm just going to assume, I'm just going to do round figures here, that he is earning $50,000 a year. So that's his, what we call net relevant earnings. That's your earnings before you pay tax, USC and PRSI. So it's your earnings in your business, whether you're a sole, you know, if you're a sole trader, take off your business expenses, and it's that figure there before you pay tax, PRSI, and USC. So, assuming that figure is 50,000, and this person is aged 43, he can actually contribute anything up to 25% of that figure of the 50,000 into a pension. So, if he does contribute the maximum, if he can afford to contribute the maximum of 12,500 into a pension, he's going to then get a tax refund of 40% of that, because he is a higher rate taxpayer, he pays 40% income tax. So that would actually be 5,000 of a tax rebate. So in his case, he has 5,000 liability for the 2018 year. So if he contributes 12,500 into a pension, he would actually eliminate his 5,000 tax bill and be contributing to a pension, which is then going to grow tax-free. And then when he comes to retirement, obviously he'd make other contributions along the way. When he comes to retirement, he can get a lump sum tax-free out of the pension, and then he takes an income from the remainder of the fund.
Now, we're just going on rough figures, as you said, but that 25% contribution of €12,500, now that is a lot of money to take out of your annual salary.
Yeah.
Is that a contribution that you have to make every year then?
No, you can make that as a once-off this year. So maybe there is some cash in the company, or sorry, in, you know, in his business, because he's a sole trader, and he's able to pay that in. He can pay that in this year. He can pay more or less in next year, or nothing at all if he isn't able to pay into a pension next year. So he can choose to either pay regularly if he wanted to, and maybe monthly, you know, might be easier sometimes for people to pay monthly, 100, 200 a month over the course of the year, or ad hoc lump sums like this at this time of year. And he can vary it each time depending on what his own situation is. And like you mentioned,
it is a great incentive, though, to get a tax rebate.
Absolutely. And even if he didn't do the full 25% of this person in their 40s can do, you know, he can do 10,000 and get 4,000 back, you know, so like he can do less if he wants to. Obviously, that wouldn't eliminate his tax bill. He'd still have a 1,000 there of a tax bill. But if he can't afford the full 12,500, obviously he can pay other amounts then if he wishes to.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, I have a load of questions that actually came in. I can't cover them all, unfortunately, but that means we'll have to have you back, Karen, to go through them.
That's fine.
But there's one that jumped off the page, and I mentioned to me earlier in the introduction. I take out a pension today, and God forbid, in 3 or 4 years' time, I hit a wall and I fall down dead. And all my hard-earned money that I've been putting away for the rainy day for my loved ones, my children and my wife or my husband, whatever it is, what happens to that money? Does that money die with me? Or
no, it doesn't. It's a really good question as well. I actually get asked that quite a lot. That there's a pension fund there. So whatever type of pension you're contributing to, there's all different types. There's company pensions, personal pensions, PRSAs, which are personal retirement savings accounts. All of those are a pension fund. And if, God forbid, something happens and the person that has that pension fund dies, then there's a pot of money that can get paid out. And it depends, obviously, how their will is structured as to who it gets paid to. But typically, if the person is married, it would go to a spouse. And depending on the type of pension, they may get all of it as a lump sum paid out into the estate or out to the person like a spouse. Or some pensions, if they're company pensions, the amount that's paid out as a lump sum might be capped to 4 times salary. But then whatever is left would get paid as an income to the spouse. So basically, your pension doesn't die with you. There is a fund there that gets paid out. Depending who it gets paid out to, if it's civil partners and spouses, then there's no inheritance tax, CAT. But if it gets paid out, you know, to others, then there potentially could be CAT payable on it. But either way, there's a payout there.
Well, that's good to know that, you know, your loved ones, you'll have a good day out of it. Anyway, you know, there'll be a good party thrown in your honour. So God bless him. He put away the few bob. You will be remembered for all the right reasons.
You will be.
Another question that came in is regarding just taking one. It was a guy of, he's 30 years old. Doesn't have a pension. I know that feeling. I'm 46. He wants to know how much should he be contributing into a pension now to get €1,000 a month when he retires?
Okay.
That's like the $1 million question.
It is, in a way, because when you pay into a pension, you're investing your contributions each month in a fund that in turn invests in assets to try and grow your money. And when you're younger, you're trying to invest in assets like stocks and shares, property, commodities, other assets that will try and grow your money. And as you get nearer to retirement, then you try and de-risk, so you're not in any risky assets and you're in less risky funds to try and consolidate at that point, and you're foregoing growth for safety. So obviously no one knows how those funds are going to perform, and we don't have a crystal ball in that respect, but we can make certain assumptions. So I'm going to make assumptions here in this example. If he wants $1,000 a month income, and that's, I'm assuming, also in today's terms, because $1,000 a month in 30 or 35 years time isn't going to buy you as much as $1,000 a month will now, because inflation will affect.
Don't I know when we change from the pound to the euro?
There you go. So you know, if you look 20 years ago, 25 years ago, what you would have bought for your punts would have been a lot more than what you can buy, you know, nowadays, because obviously for the same amount of money, because obviously inflation goes up most of the time and the majority of the time. So I'm going to assume it's $1,000 per month now in today's prices. And I did a bit of math. You did let me know that this question was coming. And if this person were to invest $500 a month gross into a pension, so in that case, it would be $300 a month net to him because of the tax relief. And if he contributes every month and each year increases with inflation his contributions, by age 68, he would have a pot of money. He should have a pot of money that would be able to buy him a pension to pay him €1,000 a month. Now, again, I've made assumptions in that. Like I've said, I've assumed, you know, for inflation, I've assumed an average growth rate of 5% per annum, which is conservative enough over the long term, but it's around the kind of percentage that we have to assume. We can't assume any higher than that. Then he should be able to have a pot of money at age 68, which ties in with the state pension as well for him, hopefully, if it doesn't get pushed out further. And he would be able to have that $1,000 a month then in that case, or more if his fund has performed by more, obviously.
Fantastic. Well, now, time has caught up with us, Karen. Unfortunately, it always does. And I still have a raft more questions. So that means that you'll have to come back in and talk to me.
That's fine.
And maybe you might come in next month again and we'll have another chat about it. And of course, we might be able to talk about financial matters as we were approaching Christmas as well, you know, because people are going to be
budgeting
and where are we going to get the planning money from, and how are we going to afford a pension as well as affording Santa Claus and everything else. But Karen, it's a pleasure having you in, and I hope for the listeners that the answers that you've given there, and you've gone really in depth, it's very informative and clear and concise. Hopefully that'll be of help to people. And as always, to get in touch with yourself,
hermoney.ie or cwmwealthmanagement.ie as well, obviously, is the parent company there as well.
Fantastic. So Karen, we'll see you again next month, and next time come in at around 20 to 5, so we'll have a bit of extra time to go through all the different questions.
We'll do, absolutely.
But for now, thanks for coming in. Continued success.